word I want to share with you tonight, I've sought God much in prayer, and God has been speaking to me a whole lot lately about what it's going to take for us to move into just full-blown revival and awakening. And God's really been speaking to me about, oh man, and I need y'all's help so much here, about coming against a religious spirit. And you mentioned it at the beginning of the service, Justin, about coming against a religious spirit. And I actually intended to start ministering that today. And in a sense, I guess I am. But it all kind of falls under the same umbrella. But what I talked about Wednesday night, share with you Wednesday night on the Word became flesh, and man, I tell you, I've prayed much since Wednesday, and I really feel strongly that God wants me to continue, and that's been confirmed. But I really feel that God wants me to continue on this subject. So actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to repeat some of what I shared on Wednesday for those of you that were not here. And then we're going to continue on that same subject. I want to tell you something. This is, such a relevant word. And, this is not one of those, well, okay, Pastor, that was a good word. And then tomorrow we have forgotten it. It's something that we need to walk in. Oh man, y'all got to help me pray, because it will be life changing. It'll be life changing. It'll be ministry changing. It'll just change everything. And I'll just go ahead and say this. I may mention it again at some point, but every song, just about every song that they did this morning was right in line. Did you guys notice that? Amen. With what I'm going to speak to you. So some of this is going to be like teaching, and some of it will be like preaching, but I want you to get it. Amen. Open your Bibles to the 89th Psalm. By the way, James and Judy, you guys see them stepped out. They're going to a homecoming today. So they had to step out. James wanted me to let you guys know they had to leave a little bit early. 89th Psalm. Are you there? Jacob, track with me the best you can. We're going to have a lot of scriptures this morning. A lot of scriptures. Psalm 89, verse 34. My covenant will I not break. I want you to notice the second part of this verse. And again, I'm going to be repeating what I talked to you about Wednesday. So for some of you guys, it's going to be a rerun on some of this, but I feel it's important that you guys that weren't here hear it. But how many watch reruns on TV? Yeah. Do you like the reruns? You know, in fact, probably at times I have allowed the enemy to keep me from repeating a message because I've spoken it before, even though probably it needs to be spoken again. Amen. How many knows the more we speak it, the more we're going to get it? And I'm going to tell you, if we'll get this, it's going to change us. My covenant will I not break, this is God speaking, nor alter or change the thing that is gone out of my lips. So how many will agree with me here that that the word is saying is whatever God speaks, that's what God means. What God says, that's what God means. Amen. When he says it, that settles it. And, you know, there used to be this real popular bumper sticker that went around. It says, you know, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. Hey, if God said it, it's his word. Amen. Somebody believes his word is true. Anybody believes his word is alive. Anybody believes his word is still relevant for today. So he said, I will not change or alter the thing that's going out of my lips. Amen. Now, look at Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. You got that one, Jacob? I've got it here in my notes. It says basically that God is upholding all things. Everybody say all things. Come on, say it again. Say all things. God is upholding all things by the word of his power. Amen. In other words, everything, there it is right in the center of the verse, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So what are you saying here, Pastor? When God speaks, his words are binding. They are an unbreakable contract. Ooh, that's a mouthful. He always says exactly what he means. He never lies. and he never says, oops, I made a mistake. Or he never says, oops, I've changed my mind. What God speaks, amen, it's in place. Now, this universe, according to the scripture here, this universe and everything around us is being upheld by God's power. What's it say? All things. Everybody sing and say all things. The entire universe is being held together by the power of God's words. It was his word that created the earth and every living thing on it. And by his words, he created Adam and Eve. And he, you know, everything that he created, Ernie, he created by his words. What's the scripture say? And God what? Come on, somebody get with me. And God what? And God said. So he spoke it all into existence. Now, Jacob, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to try to hurry on this first part because I want us to get through it because I want to get to what I want to share with you this morning. Genesis 1, back up to verse 26. Look what it says. Look what it says. And God said, there it is. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Look what it says. And let them have dominion. Everybody say dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. Keep going. That creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, created him, male and female, created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Everybody say subdue. And have dominion. Everybody say have dominion. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So you got to hear what I'm telling you. He gave absolute dominion. I said he gave absolute dominion to Adam and Eve. When he said, I give you authority and dominion, he took his power. He took his right to rule and control the earth, and he gave it to physical human beings. In a sense, God excluded himself. Oh, we're going to shoot the cow. Y'all got to help me. We're going to come against that religiosity. We're going to come against that spirit of religion. We're going to mess up your way of thinking. We get so bound up. God has dropped so many things in my spirit. God said the reason sometimes we can't set people free because the bound are trying to deliver the bound. Amen. And we got to be free. We got to be free from these things that says this is the way it's going to be and it's never going to change. No. You have the power to change things. God gave it over. How many believes the scripture? How many remembers, what did I tell you to begin with? What God speaks from his lips, he don't change, right? So what's the word say here? Does the word say that God gave it to Adam and Eve? Amen. Does it say God gave Adam and Eve dominion? So and I know that messes with some people's thinking, but it's true. And it answers a lot of questions. And we're going to talk about some of the things about the sovereignty of God. Malachi 3:6 says, I'm the Lord and I do not change. Amen. So what he has spoken is real. Now, so when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, you got to hear what I'm telling you now. God did not violate his word and come to the scene and rescue them. Uh-oh. How many believes God could have fixed it? Just like that. How many believes God, when Adam and Eve sinned, how many believes God could have stepped onto the scene and just fixed it? How many believes God could have said, that's all right, I've got this. You know, he come to Adam in the cool of the day, he said, Adam, where are you? How many believes God could have just come in and say, it's okay, I know you messed up, I know you, but it's okay, I'll just fix it. How many believes he could have just took care of Satan right at that point? Hey, please, God's got the power to do that. But he didn't do it, did he? Because God had already said, I'm giving it to you. I'm turning it over to you. This is yours to do what you want to do with it. Oh, help us, Jesus. This, man, I tell you, we got to try to wrap our minds around this. We got to wrap our finite way of thinking, our fleshly way of thinking, and let God speak to us in the spirit. Amen. We got to hear this word. And I can see right now that I may have to preach this three or four times. Amen. So God didn't violate his word to save them from the terrible problems. They had disobeyed God. But he didn't violate his word. Amen. He didn't save them from the problems that would come from their decisions. Human beings were given this earth to do as they saw fit. However, this did not catch God by surprise. Go to Romans chapter 5. He knew it was going to happen, and he already had a plan in place to reconcile man. Galatians or Romans 5, Jacob, verse 17. Let me set this out a little bit. Lay some foundation. I'll preach to you. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one man, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall be reigned in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, this is Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, everybody say the free gift, came upon all men in the justification of life. Verse 19, here's the home run. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. But by the obedience of one, shall many may be made righteous. What did he say? He said, Jesus is the lamb slain from the foundation, amen, of the world, amen? The foundation, all the way back from the beginning. So these scriptures answer two very important questions. And Brittany came up to me after service Wednesday night, and she says, man, that's a question I've always had, and that answered that for me tonight. This answers two very important questions. One, why did Jesus have to come here? And two, if it was necessary for him to come, why did God wait 4,000 years for him to get here? It was necessary for him to come. And if it was, why did God wait 4,000 years? Now, it was a man, a physical human being. Everybody say a man, a physical human being. I want you to get that. Who had been given authority on the earth by God, when man allowed himself to be deceived and when he yielded his power to Satan, he, in a sense, became a joint heir with Satan. Oh, man, you're not going to hear much teaching preaching like this. Satan has to work through a human being. Man, through his physical body, gave authority to Satan on the earth. God gave it to man. God gave it to man. And Satan turned around, man turned around and gave it to Satan. Amen. Oh, I'm trying to take my time because I want you to get, man turned it over. Amen. This is how he became the God of this world. That's how Satan became the God of this world. Amen. That's what happened. Man turned around and gave it over. So it was, you got to see this now. So why did it take 4,000 years for Jesus to come? It was necessary for a man with a physical body to come and to take this thing back. Oh, hallelujah. To take back authority. Amen. God had to become man to give him the authority to execute judgment on the earth. Jacob put up John 5:27. Just keep these verses coming. I think I've got them in order. It's talking about Jesus. And has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is also the Son of Man. Oh, y'all got to see this. So why did it take 4,000 years? God had to become man. Y'all with me? If you're with me, say amen. He was when it speaks of God, of Jesus' divinity in the scripture, it calls him the Son of God. When it speaks of his humanity, it refers to him as the Son of Man. So God became, Satan essentially took man hostage. Satan couldn't do nothing with God. He couldn't. He never has been able to do anything with God. So he took man hostage. You know, why didn't God just come on the scene and take care of it? He took God's creation hostage. But you know what happened? Jesus became a hostage. He became man, and this hostage messed him up. He took things back. He took authority back. Amen. Are y'all seeing this? Amen. So that's what happens when we are born again. We are still in this fleshly body, but now we're born again of the Spirit. So now we have Jesus. So we are not only humanity, but we are deity because of who He is and because of what He done. Amen. He came as a man and walked around as a physical body, but then He was crucified, Ernie, and hung on the cross, and He defeated death, hell, and the grave, and He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He said, now I took care of it. Now you have the authority back, because I've came and took care of the devil. Yes, are y'all seeing that? You have the authority. Oh, help us, Jesus. I said, you have the authority. All right. Somebody say amen. So why did it take 4,000 years? Here's the logic. When God created the first man, He said, let us make man in our image. He literally spoke Adam into existence. Amen? And he had the legal right to do that because He had not yet given that authority over to man. Oh, glory. But, however, once He had given that authority to man, He could not leave him out of the equation. So the last Adam, Jesus, amen, would still have to be spoken to in existence by God, but He would have to speak through man. Are y'all with me? I'm going to say that again. The last Adam, Jesus, had to be, it was still God doing the work, but He had to use man to get Him here. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. I could get excited and just go off on a tangent here, but I'm trying to get all this into you. Let me say that one more time. The last Adam, Jesus, would still have to be spoken in existence by God, but God would have to speak through man. God was no longer in direct control, and a man would have to become the voice of His words. Psalm 116. Oh, this messes people's way of thinking up. And before I get through this, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, everything that happens is not God's will. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. This is going to mess you up. Psalm 115, verse 16. Look what it says. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has He given to the children of men. Amen. It's a strong statement. In other words, everything outside of the earth is God's, Ernie, but everything here belongs to man. Amen. Do y'all believe the scriptures? So He gave it to the children. God literally placed restrictions on Himself through His own words. He had to work through people. And there were very few people sensitive enough. Oh, that's where we are. There were very few people sensitive enough to hear the voice of God and to speak. That's why it took 4,000 years. Then all of a sudden, there's a prophet named Isaiah that says he's going to be born of a virgin. He's going to carry the government. He was speaking this stuff. He's going to carry the government on his shoulders. He's going to be wounded for our transgressions. He's going to be bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Isaiah started speaking these things, and I'm going to tell you something, and I'm wanting to just jump straight to the point, but I'll just go ahead and say it. It's time for us to realize we have the authority and start speaking those things. We're waiting for God to do something, and God's waiting for us to do something. We have the power and authority. You know, we speak negative things. We speak, oh, nothing's never going to happen. We're always going to be in poverty. We're always going to be down. We're always going to have a drug addiction. We're always going to have these things. And God said, no, don't speak those. Start speaking life. And you have, the tongue has the power of life and death. Where's my wife at? I need her up here in here to slow me down. God had to create the new Adam through words spoken by someone with a physical body. Look at Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. When? When the fullness of time was come. God had to create the new Adam spoken by someone with a physical body. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Do you see that? So it's important that you know And it's where you got, it's so hard sometimes. It's hard to separate Christ's humanity and his deity. But Jesus could not come onto the scene until everything that had to be said was said. Why did he wait? Waiting on someone to speak it. Why is God waiting now? He's waiting on someone to speak it. He's waiting for you to quit singing the hee-haw song, gloom, despair, and agony on me. So I can't remember the rest of it. You know, something excessive misery, if it weren't for bad luck. And the dog yelling, shoot the dog. I don't really mean that. I don't shoot your dog, but shoot that gloom despair dog. The world says, secular humanism says, that nothing's never going to change. And I know there's certain things that have to happen to fulfill the scriptures, but I'm going to tell you something. I believe if God provided the table in the wilderness in the Old Testament, he can provide a table in the wilderness in the New Testament. It's a matter of speaking what thus says the word of the Lord, but we got to be sensitive to him and speak. For example, it had to be prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin. That was critical because, you know, Jesus, it was very important because Jesus would not be just a good man. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh through Mary. So he received a physical body. But it was, he had the Father's blood, Randy. You see what I'm saying? But he come through a physical body. Uh-oh. Satan says, I've got them. Oh, I don't know if y'all getting this or not. Satan, when he tempted Adam and Eve, Justin, he said, I've got them now because God turned it over to them. They turned it over to me. It's going to take somebody. It's going to take a man to put me back in my place. All of a sudden, the Son of God, God manifests himself, Emmanuel, God with us. He shows up in a physical body. He says, what are you going to do now, pal? Are you seeing that? Oh, he took it back. He took back authority. Amen. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? I don't know not a man. I know not a man. When the angel visits her. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore that living thing which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You're going to give birth to it, but it's going to be called the Son of God. So here's what I believe happened. Mary said, how's this going to happen? She wasn't questioning the possibility, just the how. Are you seeing that? And the angel said that the word of God was the incorruptible seed. Jacob, go to 1 Peter 1:23. Daniel, get ready here in just a minute to help me. I'm going to try to bring this thing all together because I got some real quick thoughts I want to share with you to add on to this morning. Look what it says here. Look what it says. Being born again. Everybody say born again. That's why we're born again. We're changed. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. I told him Wednesday night, the Greek word here for seed in the scripture is spora. And it comes from the same root word as sperma. Which is talking about the seed of a man. The virgin birth of Jesus was completely natural in every respect except one. It was not the seed of a man. The seed was the word of God. The word became flesh, and all that is prophesied about Jesus became the seed, the spora. So you know, you have to see that whether it's literal, you can see it from a literal sense or symbolic, we have a spiritual womb. And when we take in a word, oh, y'all got to get this. When we take in a word and we hear a word and we take that word in by faith and all of a sudden it starts taking root down inside of us, that seed, the word of God, that incorruptible seed is planted inside of us. And then it starts to take root. And then we start speaking it. And it's no longer just a word that we receive by faith, but now all of a sudden it becomes a word that's planted and the roots start going down deep. And it starts, things start manifesting. Fruit starts coming from it. That's where you start to say, I know that I'm going to see this healing. I know that I'm going, nothing can shatter your faith. I know I'm going to see revival. I know I'm going to see deliverances. I know I'm going to see an awakening. I know that my son's going to be healed. His healing's going to manifest. I know that your healing's going to manifest. Francis, I know that your healing's going to manifest. You start speaking these things and it takes root in you. Are you seeing that? Is anybody with me? That's what the scripture's talking about when it says, if we say to this mountain, it's going to be moved. Because whatsoever you say, that's what you're going to have. Amen? Now, go to Matthew. Now, how many believes? Just really, really quick. Daniel, get ready. Come up here and help me, bro. Just real quickly, real quickly. I want you to see this. I know most of this come out like teaching this morning, but I want you to get it. I want you to get it. So how many is with your pastor that God gave the earth to man? Now, man messed up, was disobedient, turned it back over to Satan. But Christ came as a man in a physical body and took it back because he defeated Satan on the cross. How many believes that? Matthew 28:18. You got that one, Jake? Look what it says. It won't go. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, everybody say all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Somebody say it again, say all power. Say it one more time, say all power. Now, how many of these Jesus came to do a transfer of power to us? Now, it's time for the church to take back their proper place of authority. Leaders of the church, it's time to take your proper place in authority. It's, you know what it is? Can you give me just a few more minutes, church? Before we can overcome any spirit, and especially a religious spirit, we have to realize the authority that we have as believers. We got to see that. Hear what I'm telling you. Authority doesn't beg. Authority doesn't ask. Authority commands. Authority commands. It speaks things into existence. Now, here's what we got to see. What, you know, I think we get these things confused. We get confused what part is God's responsibility and what part is our responsibility. That's where a lot of people are missing it. Please let me have your full attention just for a couple more minutes. It's important you hear this. I'm going to say that again. We got to understand what part is God's responsibility and what part is our responsibility. That's where a lot of people miss it, and we don't receive what God wants to do. Hear what I'm going to tell you. Because we're asking God to do what God told us to do. I said we're asking God to do, and I'm not dancing no aisles and jumping on pews, but I feel like I'm about to fall out. I'm very passionate about this. We're asking God to do what God told us to do. Now, real quickly, what I tell you earlier, everything that happens is not God's will. This is where the church has missed it, and too many people. And this is where you've been corrupted. I'm going to be a pastor this morning. You've been corrupted by religion. James 4:7. Look here. Look at this verse. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. If everything is God's will that happens to you and to this earth, why would this verse be there? Oh, glory, help us, Jesus. I believe it's one of the worst doctrines that's ever hit the body of Christ. What is that doctrine? That God is sovereign and nothing happens to you that he don't allow. Ooh. Oh, y'all got to help me. You got to know what sovereign means. Sovereign, it means highest in rank or order. Look it up. Any definition, it means the highest in rank or order, the highest in authority. So, yeah, God is sovereign. He's the highest in authority. Amen. But it's this is something that the church has devised up in the church realm that you can't find in a dictionary. Amen. It's it never means absolute or total control. Amen. Oh, I see those wheels turning. Let me say it this way: it never means absolute or total control with no decisions made by anyone else. Kings are sovereign, are they not? But how many knows people make decisions against the kings? Amen. And it's a false doctrine. It says nothing can ever happen unless it's God's will. God's not responsible for murder. God's not responsible for rape. God's not responsible for 9/11. No. I'm telling you. And leaders, y'all can put me out if you want to, but I'm gonna preach the truth to you. People says, well, this is just God's will. This is a judgment of God upon the United States of America, 9/11 and all these other things. No. God don't operate that way. If a woman gets raped and gets shot in the head with a gun, you can't stand in the pulpit and say, this was just God's will. That was not God's will. That sin that came into the world, and man has to come against that and speak against that in the name of Jesus. God don't operate that. God is love. Faith comes through love. You know, God, it's just don't happen. And I'm going to prove it to you. Well, you may be saying, I don't know about this, Pastor. I'm going to prove it to you, though. If you think everything that happens is just the will of God, and God has control of everything, and then if you think what I'm preaching to you is false this morning, oh, well, God must have willed it. No? You know what I'm saying? If it's not of God, he didn't will it. But now this, I think God did will it. But do you get my illustration? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us. Look at what it says. Not willing that any should, see what it says? That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, do we agree that it's not God's will for anybody to perish? Okay, let me ask you something. Are there people perishing? Amen. Jesus himself said, there's more's going to go through the broad gate. Even Jesus said that, Ernie. So there's many perishing. But it's not God's will, but they're perishing. Are you following me? One more verse, I'm going to close here. We want to shoot the cow. Somebody shoot the cow. Now, I know the verse you're thinking. Jacob, go to Romans 8. But Pastor, don't Romans 8:20 say that knowing it all? I know the verse you're thinking. Go to 8. Let's go to 8:26. Ooh. 8:26. I'm going to try to close here. Look what it says. Likewise, you got to read these verses before you read 28, y'all. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to. In other words, the Spirit will pray through you according to the will of God. Verse 28. And with 26 and 27. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So what it's saying here is, if we're flowing in the Spirit, we're going to work, everything's going to work together, and we're going to know the will of God through the Spirit. We can't take that one verse. That one verse is not applicable to everything. If somebody gets killed in a car wreck, we can't take Romans 8:28 and say, well, God meant for somebody to kill them. You know, listen, if two young people, it better never happen, if my boy's driving down the road drinking and driving, and he runs around a curve and wrecks his car, that's not Romans 8:28. He was drunk. God didn't intend for that to happen. If somebody gets a gun and shoots their brains, God didn't intend for that to happen. No. It's not God's will. You have the power and the authority. Is anybody seeing this? All right. Here's what it is. You do your part, he'll do his. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Somebody say amen. You know, we're the one that gives permission to the devil. How many knows God didn't create Satan? God created Lucifer, the star of the morning. God created an archangel that was full of worship. Man created Satan. When he came into the garden and he listened, man listened to him and doubted God, he created Satan. Man has to defeat Satan through the power that's been given us. What are you saying, Pastor? I know he was defeated on the cross, but I'm saying it's our duty now to take authority. Oh, y'all got to help your pastor. Somebody say we're killing the cow. One more thing. Satan can't do anything in this earth without our cooperation. Some people say the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything. We have to cooperate with him. And you know what? Sometimes I think we give him ideas. I think sometimes there's things that he don't even think about, and we start speaking stuff, and he's like, hey, I hadn't thought about that, but I'll work on it. I'm going to hit you with it now. We give him ideas. Amen? He's taking notes on you and what you speak. Now, in closing, how many saw the songs this morning? Where's that song list? Nothing is impossible. What did it say? Through you, who can do all things? Through you, I can do all things. Now, we love this verse, Ephesians 3:20. For God is able to do abundantly, above exceedingly, anything we could ever think, ask, or imagine. Yeah. According to the power that works in you, in us. Amen? Are you seeing that? You're seeing the trend here. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, Pastor, in the Old Testament, didn't God destroy some people? He sure did. But guess what? That was under the curse. Jesus came to take the curse. You can show me in the Old Testament where he destroyed some people, but you show me in the New Testament where he destroyed anybody. He didn't do it. That was under the curse. Amen? Jesus came and took the curse. He hung on the tree. He took the curse. Now, it's time for us to take our proper place of authority. Jesus couldn't even come, folks, until somebody spoke it. Revival's not going to come until we start speaking it. Healing's not going to come until we start speaking it. Deliverance is not going to come until we start speaking it. We got to speak it. Amen? Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to us. Father, we receive your word. We receive who you are. We receive the word that's been spoken over our lives. We come against any lying spirit. We come against any spirit that would come against your people to cause them to not realize who they are. Help us to see who we are in the spirit. Help us to take our proper places of authority. Help us to realize the power that you gave to us through the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Help us to see that we can speak to the mountain and it'll be moved. Help us to see that whatever we say, that's what we're going to have. Help us to see that, Father, that was your plan from the beginning, that you gave this to man. Man surrendered it, and Jesus took it back. And through the power, the resurrection, we have that authority. We declare it, we proclaim it, we speak it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.